Studying Revelation, or if you haven't, you would learn tonight that all the number that you need is the number 4, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 we have the rapture of the church, and then in Revelation chapter 4 we have the church being in heaven. And from that time on, the church is referred to as being in heaven, and then there'll be new believers during a tribulation period. But the tribulation does not start until after the rapture. If you've placed your faith in Christ as your Savior, you will not be going through the tribulation period. You'll be viewing it from heaven. All right, when does the tribulation begin? Let's start in our opening paragraph here. I believe the Bible teaches the tribulation will begin after the rapture of the church. And when will the rapture occur? That would be the natural question. Well, when's the rapture going to occur? The Bible teaches that it is imminent, which means it could occur at any moment. Even before we finish this Bible study tonight, it could happen, at which time millions of people on the planet will disappear. They'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The world will not see us go slowly ascending up into heaven. The world will see those who are being transported to Petra, we believe, in the tribulation period. Those believers, they will come to faith in the Lord after the rapture of the church. But let's first of all go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and read about this rapture, this catching up, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It's in the twinkling of an eye, which is faster than a blink. So we will disappear that fast. If your faith is in Christ, He will take you to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting at verse 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, which means I want to give you the information, teach you as to what's going to happen. Then he says, concerning them which are asleep, these are those who've already died. Their bodies go to the grave, but their soul and spirit go into the presence of the Lord. So they're alive, and they're alive forever. He says, that ye sorrow not, as loved ones have already passed away in the Lord, even as others which have no hope. The ones who have no hope are those who died apart from Christ. They have no hope of heaven. That's sad, isn't it, everyone? That's sad. We don't earn heaven. We receive the forgiveness of sins when we ask Jesus to be our salvation, and then we get to go to heaven as grace from God. No one earns heaven. So glad to be able to say that I'm going there because my faith is in Jesus Christ. And He's the way, the truth, and life, and He's the only one that you need. You don't need any other else. Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that?
Yes.
Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. He considers death here. He just uses a soft term meaning sleep. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself, I like that, He's not sending an angel, He's coming Himself. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven, so Jesus is in heaven right now, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, that's a trumpet. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, so their bodies will come out of the grave, meet their spirit in the air with the Lord. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, when does the tribulation period begin? Well, it doesn't begin until after the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's our comfort. It wouldn't be any comfort if we're going through the tribulation period, right? The comfort is, be ready for the Lord to take you home at any moment. That's a comfort. So, all right, so that's our first paragraph there. And in Revelation 6, when John, by the way, Gregory here got me started up on this study. How you doing tonight, Gregory? This study answering your question for Sunday. All right. It's all written out for you now. So when does the tribulation begin? Well, it begins after the rapture. And when does the rapture begin? It can happen at any moment. So in Revelation 6, notice this. When John begins to describe the tribulation period, there is absolutely no reference to the church on earth. Why? Because they're not there. That's the believer. The real true church is all believers in Jesus Christ. Revelation 4 and 5 indicates that the church age, this period of time, will end. Are you aware of that? It will come to an end prior to the tribulation, and Christians will be worshiping the Lord where? In heaven. The elders representing the church, 24 of them, are singing praise to the Lamb who has delivered them from the wrath of God. Look at Revelation chapter 3. Oh, wait a minute. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1:10 since we're in 1 Thessalonians. Then we'll go back to that one. How about that? Make it easy for you, right? Paul was complimenting those believers at Thessalonica. That's why it's 1 Thessalonians, the first letter written to Thessalonian believers there. Thessalonica, that's the city. He's complimenting them because they turn from worshiping idols to the true and living God. You know there's only one true God, right? And he's manifests himself. He's in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. That's the only true God there is. There is no other God. There is no other God. The rest of them are only made up in the minds of deceived men. They don't exist. He says they've turned from idols, you know, worshiping Buddha, for instance, talking about karma and stuff like that. That doesn't exist. Only in the minds of the deceived people. Verse 9, he says, 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of being in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And then notice this, and to wait for his Son from heaven, that's Jesus, God the Son, whom he raised from the dead, God the Father raised God the Son, Jesus, even Jesus, that very Jesus, what even means there. And what did he do? Which delivered us from what? The wrath to come. And he's talking about the wrath of the revelation. Go to Revelation 3:10. Are you aware that the Lord already poured out his wrath on the church? He poured it out on the cross, and everyone that believes it's already experienced the wrath of God. And Jesus is the one that absorbed it for us. And all God's people say, amen. It's wonderful news. The revelation, the apocalypse, the pulling back of the curtain, the unveiling, all that means the same thing. Revelation 3:10, he says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. That's the tribulation. The hour of trial is the 7-year tribulation period, which shall come upon all the world, all the people in the world, to put them to the test that dwell upon the earth. What is the test that God will put on after the rapture of the believers? What is the test? Well, it's kind of the test that's going on today. Are you going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or not? That's the test. And so the Lord is allowing these troubles to come on the earth so people will turn to him, not away from him. And by the way, God's allowed trouble in our lives, not for us to turn away from him, but to turn to him. That's our only two choices. Move toward God or move away from God. That's always our only two choices. And I don't know about you, I haven't always passed the test, have you? But I do want to pass the test. I want to believe the Lord's good no matter what happens. Is the Lord good? The Bible declares he's good. Ray said he's good all the time. That's right. So the Lord's good. That has to be established as a building block in your life. And he'll always work through even bad things for our good. Now that's just a miracle, isn't it? But it's the truth. Okay. So on that third paragraph then, the rapture church is singing, praying, and praising the Lord in heaven through Revelation 19, all the way to Revelation 19. Now our next statement here. This is an important point to make, because as long as the church is still on the earth, the tribulation is still in the future. Let me say that again. This is an important point to make, because as long as the church is still on the earth, the tribulation is still in the future. The tribulation will not begin until after the rapture of the church. And if you get those mixed up or blended, you're going to be so far off theologically. You're not going to know heads and tails, up and down, backwards and forward. Just follow the Bible as it reveals Revelation, reveals as things will take place. Okay. Some say the tribulation has already occurred and that we are living in the millennial reign. How many of you think Jesus is sitting on the throne right now in Jerusalem and we're in the millennial reign, you know, where sin is so reduced? How many of you think we're living in the millennial? No, there's a group out like that. They would be called confused. All right. This requires biblical prophecy to be spiritualized. When the Bible makes common sense, don't seek any other sense. When the Bible makes common sense, don't seek any other sense. Don't look for some hidden code, hidden meaning. When the Lord wants to use symbols and types, He'll let you know. But you always stick with the literal interpretation of the word, okay? Some say the tribulation has already occurred and that we're living in the millennial reign. We know that's just spiritualizing. A literal interpretation of passages describing the tribulation reveals nothing in history that comes close to matching the events described by Jesus in Matthew 24 or in Revelation 6 and onward. We haven't experienced anything like that. You say, well, I think that COVID's kind of bad. Well, you know, we hear so many figures about COVID. Who has it? Who doesn't? Our president got it. He got over it. Some people get it and they die, right? Let's just throw that out there. If you're a certain age or whatever and you're compromised, you're more likely to die, just like if you get the flu, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Just throw all that out there. It's just in case anybody didn't think I knew all that already. I do. Just letting you know. But one COVID going on is not 8 or 9 at one time. And 1/3 of the trees aren't burned up, are they, in the whole planet? 1/3 of the waters aren't turned bitter, are they? Do we see fireballs falling from the sky because broken stars? Yes or no?
No?
We're not in the tribulation period. No. And we're not in the millennial reign, which comes after that either. Just letting you think about that. Okay. Okay, just to illustrate, for instance, going on, that none of these things have happened, like Matthew 24, Jesus teaches will happen in the future. Just to illustrate, Daniel chapter 9 clearly reveals that the Antichrist, by the way, that is a person, remember that. Satan's a person, he's a spiritual fallen angel, and the Antichrist is a man controlled by Satan. Remember that. In the future, when he's revealed, you're already in heaven. So if you are here when he's revealed, guess what? You're not in heaven. I'm just letting you know. And about the time you think you know who it is, you can rest assured you're wrong. So don't waste your time on trying to figure out who it is. Remember this, the anti-spirit's already working in the world. That's what we need to be concerned about. Just to illustrate that we're not in the millennial reign, Daniel 9 clearly reveals the Antichrist, that satanic, chosen, and controlled man will desecrate, that means violate the sacred character of, with an idol, the temple. He'll desecrate the temple. By the way, is the temple built yet? How many temples have been built? 4 or 5, right? And when's the last one torn down? 70 AD, right? A couple thousand years ago. Is there a new temple yet in Jerusalem?
No.
Not built yet. Is there a mosque there right now called the Dome of the Rock? Big gold thing and everything? Does that have to come down after studying archaeological? Does that have to come down before the new temple's built?
No.
Doesn't have to come down. You've got 100 yards there. And is the whole temple going to be built after studying Revelation? Doesn't say the whole one needs to be built, just enough for the holy place. It'll be a smaller sized temple. And then what's the Antichrist going to do 3.5 years into after the tribulation? He has a little bit of time left. He's going to set up an idol for the whole world to worship. Then the Jewish people who aren't saved, their eyes are going to be open and they're going to say, something really wrong here. And they're going to be saved, the whole nation. There's only about 1/3 of them left, actually. You know, so if you had 9 million Jews alive, you got more than that. 9 million, some of them went up in the rapture. Let's just say 9 million were left. 6 million of them will be put to death in the tribulation. That's terrible. It's going to be worse than it's ever been. You know, worse than Hitler, of course. But the 1/3 that are left, their eyes will be open spiritually. They'll be saved as in a day, he says. That's millions of people getting saved in the tribulation period. Millions of Jews at that time. So, no, the temple has to be rebuilt. The temple is not rebuilt. Therefore, we're not in the tribulation period. And we're definitely not in the millennial reign. So, the rapture hasn't happened yet. You see how it all fits together? Okay. The temple is not yet rebuilt. The rapture has not happened. We are not in the tribulation. And we are definitely not experiencing the millennial reign. I just went through 4 different theological positions and cut right through them by just declaring the truth, by the way. You know, the truth sets you free, doesn't it? If you just go with it'll set you free. All right, let's look at page 2 here. And now, page 2, Paul Harvey, right? Anybody remember that guy? Okay. Don't let your heart be troubled about going through the tribulation as a believer, because that won't happen. You know, you're borrowing trouble when you think about that. Well, then why are we studying it? We're studying it to let everyone know what will happen. And our hearts need to have more compassion for people, because if they're left behind to go through the tribulation, it's going to be a taste of hell on earth. So are we willing to tell people, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now, you don't want to go through the tribulation period? Or we say, well, they may not believe us. Well, they may not. They may believe you too. So, let your heart be comforted in believing the rapture can happen at any moment. We already read that, 1 Thessalonians 4. Now, do you think about that every day? Today could be today. This could be the day the Lord calls us home. And you know what's going to happen when we get to heaven? We're going to be thinking, oh, this is better than I ever dreamed. That's right. We have a little taste of it by the Holy Spirit himself giving us as a down payment. And we know it's a place, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, undefiled, fades not away, and is reserved in heaven for you. Those are qualities. There's no decay in heaven. That It'll have its beauty forever, and it'll be yours. How many of you have been given something nice, and after a while it kind of wears out? How many of you are glad there's a birthday every year, you can get the same old stuff again next time? In heaven, new stuff doesn't wear out. It retains its full beauty. And the Lord said about Solomon, you know, Solomon, all that gold and silver and all the beautiful clothing he had, and men singers and women singers, and the temple was so beautiful, so beautiful. Anybody here done any masonry work before? The cracks lined in gold, you know, the fillers, just a beautiful, beautiful place. And the Lord said, Solomon doesn't even touch it. Solomon arrayed in clothing, all his beauty, doesn't even touch what one flower looks like that doesn't have a curse of sin on it. That's what he's talking about. Could you imagine the beauty that you see, beautiful things right now, changes of leaves and everything, you know? It's beautiful, right? But it's under the effects of sin. We're all underneath the effects of sin. One day when that effect is removed, we're really going to be looking good. All right. just to let you know. All right. So don't let your heart be troubled about going through the tribulation period. If you're in Christ, you're not going through the tribulation period. Let your heart be encouraged that the rapture could take place at any minute. And rejoice that your name's already written in heaven, Luke 10:20. Remember what the disciples did? Jesus left them. Go out, and they were discipling and trying to make disciples, student learners of Christ. And some demons, how many know demons are real? Fallen angels are real beings. And they were possessing some people, and one even was mentioning Jesus' name and making all kind of money out of it. Was a false demon-controlled person. Excuse me. And but they said, hey, even the demons are subject to us in your name. We use the name of Jesus, and demons got to go away. You know what? I don't want to get too far off here to lesson, but when you start praising the Lord, you know the devil can't take that. He can't inhabit the praises of God. He flees. If you draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh to you. That's resisting the devil, and the devil will flee from you. James chapter 4. That's even written out in the book of James. That's what it means. Well, I don't feel like praising God today. Anybody ever had that? That's a good time to start praising God. When you don't feel like it. Feel. I got a feeling. Well, sometimes the feelings ain't so good. But you have a faith in God that's genuine, true. And it'll be an anchor for your soul whether you feel like it or not. I'm glad when my feelings are meeting my faith. How about you? But when they don't meet my faith, it doesn't change the truth. Amen. That's good. So trust that God will give you strength to face troubles and trials of your faith today. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Oh, you'll have enough trouble without going through the tribulation period to have faith in God. God will see to that. You know, we got to be tested somewhere, right? We get all this learning from the Bible, come to church, hear the word, and you don't think God's going to not put these things to the test. He will. We don't look at that way in any other field, do we? You mean you're learning to be a physician assistant back there, John Mark, and then not going to put it to test somewhere? Bonnie, you going to learn to play the piano and not be put to test somewhere about playing the piano? Ray, has your computer ever put you to the test? Oh, yeah. Hey, so is mine, brother. And you got a lot more knowledge than me. How many know you'd rather call Ray about these computer things and try to work it out? No kid. No. We'll have enough trouble to depend on the Lord today, every one of us. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. You know, Rand Hummel's coming November 15th, Lord willing, right? For a couple days, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And on the evenings on those last three. But he says, you know what? I don't even get out of the bed anymore. I said, well, you're standing right here. Apparently you did get out of bed. Well, you have to finish the sentence. I said, oh, yeah. I don't even get out of the bed anymore without acknowledging my weakness and saying, Lord, I'll be needing your strength today. I already know it. I think that's pretty wise. I didn't last 10 minutes yesterday. I got out of the bed, and, you know, I started walking downstairs, stubbed my toe on the carpet, and was already in the flesh, hadn't even had my coffee yet. I thought to myself, you're already losing. What is this? Anybody ever had one of those? I already had to ask the Lord to forgive me. And my wife says, how's it going, honey? I'm like, not so good. So I have a morning like that every now and then, too. So the next day, which was the day I started out of bed, dear Lord, I acknowledge my weakness. I'm not even getting out of bed. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we'll be tested. We won't be going through the tribulation period if we're in Christ. We'll have enough normal tests through life. And then this part, rest in the promise that Jesus will come to get you one day and has prepared a place for you to live with him in heaven forever. Are you resting in that? That's when your settled state of your soul, that's rest. We're not talking about going to sleep. We're talking about a settled state of your spirit. I know that Jesus is going to come get me one day and take me to a place he's prepared for me, either by the rapture or by natural death. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house have many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Either through the rapture or natural death, be ready and remember the precious words of our Lord. I will come again and receive you to myself. All God's people say, amen. All righty, let's go over. The children are going to come in and the